This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Recap Live. Today we are talking Drag Race, Teen Mom, and Jersey Shore. Do I really have zero people for this one? It's starting to feel like I should stop doing these and just do Sunday lives. I think that's the way to go, I think. The cats are happy to be here, though. At least that's going for me. I guess I'll just get into it. I thought I'd wait a beat before I logged on because I was like, oh, people will be waiting. Guess not. All right. Let's start off with Drag Race. I think by now. Oh, good morning. Hi, Max.
Hello.
Maybe I should give it a second. Okay. Drag Race. So you guys know that I'm very happy that Q ended up going home. But operating from a place that we don't know that yet, they get done with the, you know how they do like the after the challenge, after the elimination, like Kiki at the top of the episode. I didn't realize that Q only has two wins when, Plain and Safira have four. And of course Q is like, I mean, they didn't deserve two of those, but that's fine. I'm like, Q, you didn't deserve the wins you think you deserved. Okay, Q, don't piss me off. The mini challenge is this kiddie pool karaoke. And honestly, Plain is right. RuPaul is trying to waterboard us. What the fuck was that? That was such a fucked up challenge. Oh my God. Like they were literally just sticking their face in water, making fools of themselves. Like that wasn't great. Winner is Safira though. But I, you know, usually the mini challenges aren't that great, but this was a nice mini challenge prize. You get all expenses paid trip to Puerto Vallarta, airfare included. Okay. Yeah. That's a nice trip. That's for sure. A really nice trip. But okay. Maxi challenge is the put pen to paper and write stories about your life. So like it could not be worse for Nymphia because Nymphia is like, I just hope it's not a writing challenge. This would be something I would love, right? Because it doesn't involve any other skill other than like talking about myself and writing about myself and like conceptualizing a book cover and shit like that. Like I love it. So this is what it's going to be. It's going to be, you got to make a catchy title. Then you got to pose with Albert Sanchez, and Matt Rogers will do an interview. Now, I just don't feel like we've ever really seen Rue truly coaching to this degree, to this level, where he made them so much better. So at the photo shoot, Nymphia really hits every single pose Rue throws out. And I thought Nymphia's cover came out so sick. Like it looked amazing. Those shoes were incredible. I thought Nymphia hit all of the points, but Rue definitely had to like come in and kind of tweak and stuff. And it was cool to see Rue doing that and genuinely like imparting a lot of wisdom. We've seen it. We've for sure seen it here and there, but it's not maybe not this productive. How about that? Maybe not this one-on-one, not this productive. And sometimes it feels like there's always been a little bit of an element of like shade or kind of fucking with the contestants when Rue does that. Contestants, the queens, when Rue does, but like this felt like Rue wanted them to feel and do their best. Now, Q, when Q walked in with that look, I thought, what the fuck is this? This muumuu with the, I just did not get what the message was. I just, like, we hadn't seen Q look like that at all. It was weird. And Q had a hard time. She didn't really come prepared with, like, the concept of the book cover or anything like that. And it took a while for her to warm up, which of course I love. It's like, Q, you're not all that. Okay. You're not all that. But Saphira nailed it. I really thought Saphira should have won, but I am happy that Nymphia got a win. But Saphira decided to call her book Slewfoot. Brilliant. Rue goes, I'm buying it. I'm already sold. I forget it. Like, Rue couldn't have loved it more. Rue is living for Saphira. Rue didn't even have to do anything. With Saphira, Rue had to do was help put that braid around Saphira, and Saphira posed and brought it and gave it. And honestly, Rue was just having fun. Like, Rue and Saphira feel like longtime good Judies. I really hope Saphira wins, because I mean it when I say, I feel like an older black queen never gets a shot to win. Because Rue definitely, like, I think Rue doesn't realize, but she definitely favors towards the younger people. And Saphira is like, she's just, I love her so much. I just love her. She's a good person too. But Rue's like, come on, Source Magazine. Just having a good time. Plane's title is Plane Crash. And then she shows up in this wig. And I guess the wig was supposed to look like she got out of a plane crash or something. But it was too small. It was way too small. It was like all flat. Rue was doing her best. Rue was really coaching Plane and not seeming frustrated, seeming like they all had a shot. And I think that's what's sometimes what we used to do back in the day, not back in the day, but like what used to be a trope on competition shows is making fun of the queens. But I don't love that anymore. I just don't think we need that element, because we know that what they're doing is requires so much talent and uniqueness, nerve and talent. That I don't need them to be made fun of. I don't need them to be thrown into this mix and like teased anymore. I don't need that. Now, can they be dragged for filth when they fuck up? Yeah, that's allowed. And the judges and stuff, that's totally allowed. And the Matt Rogers interviews, Plane has a story about her friend being savage and telling her she looked like a clown. And so that's how she got her makeup together and all of that. But then Matt's note is perfect. Matt says, sometimes when an interviewer asks you to be a little shady, you don't have to do it. And so Plane kind of like took the shade too far. Plane made the shade like her whole personality, and like how defending her bitchiness or whatever was like the kind of the whole personality. So I didn't totally get a lot of Plane from it. But I've ended up liking Plane. However, then Saphira walks in, and I want Saphira to do every goddamn interview with every goddamn person. Saphira is just such a professional. Matt says it perfect. He's like, when she was walking towards me, I was almost intimidated. But then when she started talking to me, I was like, never mind. She is so connected. She is so here with me. And the whole thing was great. Saphira told a story about, because she's got a story in her book about her Nona, and Matt's like, oh, I was close to my grandmother too. Is it interesting? You know, like, we just gravitate to them. And Saphira's like, well, she actually didn't like me being gay, but I'm not afraid of that. And so I give them space, and then I come back. And if they still don't miss me, I give them some more space. But then she goes, but they always miss me. I was like, girl, you're just destined for this. Destined. We are blessed to have seen Saphira on this damn show. On this damn show. Q. So this is what I wrote in my notes. Q's face is immediately irritating. Shut up. Q just has a stank face. She just looks like she's always like about to kind of cry. Like, she's always like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's me. Whatever. Matt did an incredible job interviewing. I gave him a lot of, he made Q look better. He like extracted what he could out of Q. But I agree that Q's book title, something about like Q, whatever, alphabet soup, take a bite or whatever the hell. It was like, as Rue said, do you take a bite out of soup? Do you? What am I talking about? So I was like, okay, yeah. She cried a little bit talking to her mom. I'm like, okay, bye, Q. Get out. We already know. Nymphia's cover, can't say it enough, was sick. It was so, I mean, you put that in like paper magazine, put that in any editorial. It was so cool. But then she gets into talking about how Western society beauty standards really fucked her up. Looking in the mirror, she didn't see that. So makeup and cross-dressing was her way of disguising. And Nymphia says even to this day, she doesn't really like looking in the mirror. Now, what I love about this episode is there was so much footage of them getting ready. Because, I mean, now there's only four of them, so they have all the time. All of the footage of them getting ready and all the reading in the workroom and how they just get a kick out of it. And Nymphia says it perfect. The love language for a drag queen is shade. It makes me think of, remember the season with Alexis and Trinity and whatever, and Alexis got all butt hurt because when they did the reading challenge, a bunch of them made fun of her weight. And she thought that was taking it too far. And when they went to the reunion that year, Trinity goes, "You are a drag queen and that is a part of the job," or something like that. And that always sticks with me because the way Trinity just said it, it's just so true. Like, this is what we fucking do, bitch. Okay. Welcome to the world that we live in. This is how we say we love each other. And if you don't know that you're a little curvy, well, man, I don't know what to tell you, Alexis. Alexis was so annoying. Doesn't Bianca have a whole thing with Alexis? doesn't Bianca Del Rio hate Alexis? Am I remembering that right? Because I feel like every time I happen to watch, was it Alexis? I think it was. I think it is. And that's why I really, really do love Bianca Del Rio. That's why I think I also like Bianca Del Rio, because everyone knows Bianca is one of the sweetest, most kindest people. I loved Bianca. I'm such on a tangent. Bianca and Adore together. God, love them. Adore had Bianca's number from the jump. By the way, how amazing does Adore look? Adore has, I think she completed the surgery, I think, right? Yeah. She looks gorgeous. Like, stunning, stunning. And it also really makes sense that the reason why Adore had a hard time with the padding and that typical kind of cliche drag stuff that she just didn't love. And as she called it, I got my hog body going on. It makes sense that she was dealing with her own identity at that point. So the runway category was Fandango. Q's was fine. It was like a orange tutu with this like high pigtail buns thing. It was fine. Oh, is this, hold on. It's just Harlem wrote, "If you can't roll with the punches, then this is not the career for you." That's right. That's what she said. I love it. Safira came out in this blue African queen number with fans, with a big old fan reveal. Don't get me wrong. You could tell that there was going to be a reveal on this dress, but it was stunning. And Safira looked stunning. The face was great. Nymphia does a Marie Antoinette thing with a fire crotch. I was shocked that she won with this, just because I was like, hasn't this been totally done? Who did it? Was it Detox? I could have swore Detox did that. Or maybe that was just her talent show that I'm thinking of. When Plane came out, I had to rewind T.S. Madison. When Plane walks out and T.S. Madison goes, "Mighty Aphrodite could never." Like, that should be the tagline for Plane's look. It was so gorge. I thought the wig was a little not fully realized. I think she's having wig issues. I don't know what she's playing with or whatever. But okay, then the judges. Now, okay, obviously they were like, "Q, great look, love your look. You've been gorgeous. You've been fabulous." But Ronan starts it off and he goes, "You know, but with your book and the cover and the title, I just don't get enough of like what your life story is." And Michelle off the top of her head, she comes up with "Q don't know me." And Rue was like, "Well, that was good." Michelle, like these people are just in the world, so that their brains probably operate like this. So they don't even need to like warm it up. You know what I mean? It's just like, boop, there it is. Rue gives Q the chance, though. Like, is there anything else you'd like to say before we move on? Which is obviously their, like, her chance to be like, thank you guys so much for everything. Like, it's been a dream of being here. I don't know, whatever. But Q is so pissed because she realizes from her critiques that she's probably not going to win. So she's just like, I just want to thank everybody for everything. And she can't. She's like, even though you're all wrong, even though everything you're saying is completely inaccurate. Saphira, Ronan opens up with, you've got a new fan in me. And what I love is that Q just went and got dragged a little bit. And now they're like, Saphira, we live for you. Take it, Q. You take it. That's right. Okay. Michelle and Rue just love that she reclaimed the slew foot. And when Saphira was doing her interview and she talked about the slew foot thing, she goes, you know, Rue makes fun of me for the slew foot. And at first I was embarrassed, but then I realized that it endeared her to me. And I was like, whoa, God, deep. Okay. Cause it's so true. And like, cause I think you guys, if you've been listening, following, whatever, you've heard me say that I don't like that they make fun of Saphira for the slew foot. It's one thing to be kikiing with your friends that are on like an equal level. It's another thing to be doing it from the judging booth area and then she's on a stage getting critiqued. I just feel like it's a little, I don't know. It's because you can't like throw it back. I guess you could, but it's just, I felt bad for her. So the way Saphira has reclaimed it, I get why they respect the fuck out of it. I really do. Ronan says, yeah, and this the posing is great. The book cover is, I mean, Nymphia's is going to always win to me because it's so editorial and cool, but it's like her face is great. Her pose is everything. And Ronan goes, you're in your Missy Elliott squat. And D.S. Madison goes, that's Lil' Kim. D.S. Madison will not let you get that wrong. Nymphia, Ronan says to you, like, this is a cover. Like I've never, this photo alone is incredible. Michelle says, I would love to never see a Marie Antoinette on this runway again. And I was like, same, honestly. It's so been done. But she is very grateful to Nymphia for sharing more about her truth and how hard it is to look in the mirror. And then Rue goes, yeah, we fell in love with you in that podcast. Because it's true, they haven't gotten to know Nymphia. Nymphia doesn't really express herself very well, for them at least. And Plain, Michelle drags Plain for that wig and that cover. Like, it's a little small. This right here. Like, what? And Rue's like, we tried. We had the fan on it. I had her flipping it. We were trying all we freaking could to get this thing going. But that was your choice. And she was a little defensive. She's like, it was a human hair. So yeah, I'm like, well, don't. I think, you know, I wonder if sometimes they start running out of stuff. I do think that I've heard a lot of queens say that. I'm trying to get a queen on my show. Did I ever hear back from her? Oh, dear. Okay, let's see. What else do I have here? T.S. Madison goes, all I got from that podcast with you was you're a shady bitch. And that's sort of all. And Ronan goes, yeah, your stories didn't really connect. So you tell the story about how your, like, the whole idea is that you can walk away from disasters or trauma, but like, we didn't get any disasters or trauma from what you said in your podcast. We just got like, oh, she's really shady. And Rue goes, you know, you're also very deliberate with what you say. Like, everything you say to me is like, you're thinking it through. And the best thing about the people with the most success in showbiz, kid, are people who can reveal the underbelly of themselves. And that will be, because when, I hate saying this, but like when Plain cried and was like, you know, open and honest about the open, I hate saying open and honest. It sounds like Kyle Richards. Oh, sorry, I take that back. But when she was open about her fears and stuff, it's like, okay, you are a human. Cool. Because that's the problem with Plain. Plain can be kind of like a robot. That's what it is. It's like animatron. You know what I mean? Nymphia won. And I honestly think they did that just because she should have had a win maybe going in. And what's so great is, okay, so in Q's mind, okay, Q, you know Q thinks Nymphia shouldn't have won. Because especially since the Marie Antoinette thing's been done, I'm sure Q's running through all of those things in her head. I almost feel like they wanted to give Nymphia the win so that they could justify sending her through. Because there's Q, who has two wins. Because Nymphia had none, right? Right? No, I'm lying. Nymphia had a win. Oh, wait, whatever. Sorry, it's just Harlem Goes. That just took me back to the BH reunion. God, I know. Open and honest is now forever ruined. That phrase is forever ruined. Thank you, Kyle. Tiger, you're being so cute. Look how cute she's being with her big chonky belly. Plain and Q having to lip sync together, though. Everything. I was dying. I was like, oh my God, yes. And so here's what I wrote. God, I hope Plain eats her up and Q gets eliminated. Please, oh please, oh please. And then that happened. Oh, it was so good. So, okay, it was like too good to be true. So the song is Better Be Good to Me by Tina Turner. And I prefer all of Plain's choices over Q's. I don't know what the fuck Q was doing. Q's just weird. Q's just like awkward and like, but Plain was making funny choices. So it wasn't even like, oh, Q should have got it. No, Plain should have got it. But I thought for sure that Rue was going to go, Plain, Jane, you know, Shantae, you stay. And then Q, Shantae, you stay. But no. Oh, no, 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 no. Bye-bye, Q. I'm not kidding. Rue seemed savage about it. I don't know what, I think Q pissed somebody off. I swear to God. I think Q made them mad somewhere because it just seemed like Rue wanted to get her the fuck off that stage. She was like, Q, you've been great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Bye-bye. You've been wonderful. Get out. So, bye-bye, Q. I am so happy we don't have to see Q in the fucking final four, in the finale. God, thank God. Thank God. So obviously you guys know that I do prefer Saphira. I would like Saphira to win. I don't think Plain will get it. And I really just, I can't imagine Saphira not getting it. Like I can't imagine what, I don't know. I don't know. But that will be, so next week, hi Jazz, hi Jasmine. Oh, hi T Gettys, hi. Next week is going to be the lip sync battle with the eliminated queens. Dude, the winner of that gets $50,000. I can't remember. Is there a runner up cash prize for the regular, like the real season? Cause that would fucking suck if you were second place and you got nothing. And then one of the eliminated queens who didn't have to do the whole challenge, all of the challenges and stuff, they get $50,000. I'd be like, can you get, excuse me, that pissed me the hell off. So I certainly hope. Anyway, okay, hi to the chat. Hi, G Hazard. Q said that the statement about others not deserving certain things, certain wins again last night at Roscoe's after show. Q said it again at Roscoe's after show. I bet she did, a little bitter, bitter lady that she is. Whatever. Q, okay, so honestly, Plain was the TV villain. Q was the real villain of the season, for sure. For sure. Okay. Oh, I have, God, I keep forgetting to plug this. I set up an Amazon shop. Did I? I think I linked it. I'll link it in the description. The only reason I'm bringing that up is because I had a bunch of people ask where I got like blankets and things that you see in the videos. So I was like, I guess I should just put it all in one place. So I set up an Amazon shop. I had some people ask where I got this blanket, where I got this CD thingy here. Everything is in the Amazon shop, FYI. I'll put in the episode notes and then I'll also like link it on YouTube wherever I can link it or something. But I have to remember to plug it because I set it up and I have told nobody. No one knows I have it because I'm so bad at plugging myself. Okay. They did it like 1 year for Willow and Lady Hamden, but then it wasn't back last year. Okay, so it's just Harlem is talking about the second runner-up prize or whatever. That seems kind of shitty if one of the eliminated queens wins the lip-sync battle, gets $50,000, and then like the second place at the finale is like, bye-bye. You don't get anything. They should change that. Okay.
You all know I know Cozy. So Cozy Earth has been a sponsor of this podcast for quite some time, and I couldn't love them more. I have two of their loungewear pants, one shirt, three fitted sheets, two towels, and I think I even have a cart that's full waiting for me to hit buy. because I love it so much. And they give the most incredible discount to the listeners. We get 35% off when we use the code SHESPEAKS. Let me tell you about Cozy Earth, if you didn't already know. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating. So me, who runs hot, loves the cool viscous from bamboo sheets. Now, if you've never heard of viscous from bamboo, neither had I, but it is my new current favorite fabric. You have never felt anything so soft. Let me also talk about these loungewear pants. Not only can you wear them around the house because they're so cozy, but they're flattering and like kind of elegant, so you can wear them out too. And I do. And did I mention that all products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty? And actually, something from Cozy Earth would be a great Mother's Day gift. Just a little tip. So head over to CozyEarth.com, use the promo code SHESPEAKS, and you get an exclusive 35% off. The luxury she deserves. We don't do body odor, okay? It's officially canceled. And that is because we use Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. I've been using it for years. And you hear whole body, you think, I'm sorry, I only use deodorant under my arms. Well, let me tell you right now, the whole body can have an odor. And this Lumi deodorant here is different because it was created by an OBGYN who was tired of having patients come in and say, I got something wrong down there. And she's like, no, it's literally just body odor. So she invented this deodorant so we never have to smell bad again. It's powered by mandelic acid. It controls odor for up to 72 hours. Now, I hope you would shower within that time frame, but if you needed it, it would be there for you. You can use this deodorant anywhere on your body that gets a little gross. Lumi is baking soda free, paraben free. There are a variety of scents. You can do clean tangerine. I have the Lumi body wash in clean tangerine and it is everything. They also make lavender sage or toasted coconut. I was a toasted coconut girl for a long time with the whole body deodorant. So Lumi's starter pack is really good for new customers because it comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, so like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and you get free shipping. And guys, we have a new offer. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off your starter pack. Use code SHESPEAKS for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code SHESPEAKS at LumiDeodorant.com.
Teen mom time. You guys, I'm actually surprised I'm interested in this season. I don't know. Okay. So like Mackenzie has shown up with Cassano. I get Mackenzie was intimidated walking in, but she doesn't say hi to anyone. She sits off on the side and like, that wasn't the move. And she'll say late. Well, no, let's actually just go through it because like, in real time was what was making it so stressful. Cause then Cassano walks around and is like shaking everybody's hand. He's like, hey, everybody. And she literally is just sitting off to the side, pretending like he's not doing that. So what are you doing, Kenzie? Like it would make sense to the first thing you should do would be to just to get out of the way, to walk up, say hi to people. I'm Kenzie. And then to Cheyenne, I don't want to disrespect, but I would love to have a conversation with you. That's all. That's all I would like. But to me, it seems like Mackenzie really wasn't super ready to come back to the show, to TV, to like own up for herself. I don't know. Tyler, the next day, he's such a good little producer puppet because he'll ask a very obvious like setup for camera question. But he's not threatening in any way. So he can totally like pull it off. So he's like, hey, like, so what even happened with you and Cheyenne? I don't even really like know. Tyler, no one believes you don't know. Like it was on the show. And yeah, like you know it happened. But actually, wait, no, I forget. Tyler doesn't watch the show. Tyler and Kate don't watch the show. They would benefit from watching the show and seeing what the other person says and all that shit. Okay. They would. Okay. The way Kenzie describes it, she's like, I said something. I was trying to be politically correct and I said the wrong word. And then, but she admits, I didn't grow up with any diversity. I had one Black person in my school. And she says that now when she hears the word, she's like, whoa, which means people are around her are still saying that. I will not say it. I can't believe the word even came out of her mouth. But I think that part was what's crazy, because she said, like, now I've learned. So when I hear other people say it, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, you hear other people say it still? Like, so that is crazy. If you, like, I just can't even imagine. I can't imagine being around a bunch of, I know I'm from a city, I'm from the Democratic state of California, but I can't imagine being around a bunch of people who say, who speak like that, who talk like that. But she was giving context. But then she goes, okay, so I wake up the next day, I got all these headlines, and I text Caitlin and Cheyenne. And Tyler goes, oh, so you did text Kate. And I'm like, yeah, dude, like, we know you knew this before you pretended to be out of the loop. Like, yeah, she texted your wife, meaning you totally know everything that happened here, dude. Then Cheyenne tweeted. She goes, this is where it got bad. Cheyenne tweeted saying that it was from ignorance. I said what I said from ignorance, which is true. And then Tyler's like, did you know people were showing up to her house? And she says no. She is going to adamantly say no. But I really don't, I think she did know. Now, I wasn't paying any attention to Mackenzie at all, like online or anything. But there's no way she didn't know, right? It was talked about on the show and it was talked about on social media. Mackenzie had to have been tagged in things. So that isn't going to work that she didn't know. We'll get to this. It was a really dumb move for her and Cassano to sit out the first group exercise. She should have participated in that to at least show that she is a part of the group and she wants to bond with people. And we need to get to know you and your relationship. But I don't think she was even ready to like open up and be vulnerable at all about her relationship since she had enough going on. And so she lays in bed with her man and has this like really weird moment where she's crying and she's like, you and I come from very different backgrounds and we're the same. I don't know. It was weird. It was a really weird thing to do. The exercise that they did though was actually like, it was actually very effective. Okay. I'm not going to lie. I've been making fun of these people's exercises, but this one, did they really need to be physically in cars on the beach? No, but they need the visuals for the show. Just like they do on the challenge though. You know how they like on the challenge, TJ will be like, okay guys, today's challenge is, and then they'll use such obvious ADR. ADR for those who don't know is audio pickups. And so it'll be like, hey guys, you know, this is the challenge over here. And then suddenly you'll hear like, they get different and they're here and it's clearly like in a studio and it's like, you're going to go down this ramp and then you're going to jump over there. And then, you know what I'm talking about? They use that for the doctors or the therapists or whatever they are. You and your partner are going to find out what it's like to be in their seat for a change. Okay. But Jade ends up having a breakthrough. She was arguing as Sean. Like, so that's what they had to do. They had to argue from the position, from the perspective of their partner. Now, that was good for Jade because Jade heard all the shit that she was, that he would say to her. And then she even goes, am I the problem? Kind of. Yeah, a little bit. Just a tiny bit, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm so good. Corey like can't warm up. Corey needs Dr. Mike to give him a lot of prep. Because Dr. Mike keeps going, oh, Corey, there he is. Oh, that Corey, oh, there's Corey. And then finally Corey gets into it. I'm like, Dr. Mike is acting. I wouldn't be surprised if Dr. Mike had dreams of becoming an actor because he was performing. He's like, oh, you want me to get into this? Let's get you into this. Eventually, Corey does say, as Taylor, you need to put that ring on my finger. And he's like, fuck. It is interesting. I love that idea. I would love, well, I don't know. Who would I do that with? No one really fights with me. But that'd be fun to kind of get from that. Tyler, speaking of performing, Tyler is so ready for this moment. He loves emotions. He loves self-reflection. He loves a monologue. He loves this shit. So he is ready. He has Kate ready to go. But then it's interesting when Kate does hers, she says that she's speaking as Tyler, something about asking for quality time once a month without the kids. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought you guys were like having sex all the time and intimacy wasn't an issue. And what the hell? I was, I'm onto them. I don't know. I kind of don't care about Cheyenne and, oh, what's his name? I kind of don't care. I don't care. Taylor, Macy's husband, Taylor knows exactly what to say as Macy. So he starts busting that out. But what's so interesting is Macy doesn't know what to say because that is how little Taylor communicates. Like, he doesn't say anything. So she's like, I don't even know what he's mad about. Wow, that's a lot. Okay, so they all get back to the house and Mackenzie sits off to the side again. They insert this really weird shot of her eating because like they could pick anything to insert. You know what I mean? Like these B-roll footages of people just like sitting there eating. They pick one where she's going like, and like food's coming out of her mouth. I'm like, okay, I think they hate her too or something. But she's still not talking to Cheyenne. This is, you know, shoot her, tell a producer that like, how do I talk to her? I don't know. But like at this point, you are really digging a grave here, girl. Macy and Taylor have a one-on-one session. And this is where we find out. Because Dr. Mike goes, I can feel the passion in you guys. And that means you probably can fight. And he says, what is the thing that he has said to you that hurt you the most? And it turns out he said when he was mad, I would not want my daughter to become the mother that you are. Whoa. Oh, woo. Macy gets into talking about, she's like, I have been in survival mode since I was 16. And they flash back to 16 and pregnant with Ryan not helping at all while Macy's trying to study. And he's all, it's your turn to change him. And she's like, all right, I'm going to study a little bit and I'll go change. It's like, it's no joke that she really has been in massive fight or flight for a long time. And she's been mom since 16 years old. She's been mom. That's a commitment, man. So their homework is to go on a date and not talk about the kids. And I loved it. Okay. But meanwhile, Cheyenne is now fuming pissed because Mackenzie still hasn't talked to her. It's almost like, fuck you. It's too late. Don't even bother coming over to me anymore. Mackenzie finally breaks the ice. And she opens with, I wanted to come in and respect your boundaries. So I didn't want you to think that I wasn't hugging everyone. I just really wanted to respect your boundary. Now, Cheyenne is like, she's like facing away from her. And she's just like, with her sunglasses on. She's like, I'm going to give you nothing. Now, does Cheyenne need to give her anything? Not really. I don't really know if Mackenzie's proving that she's sorry for anything. I actually think Mackenzie might be mad at Cheyenne. From what I'm gathering from what Mackenzie has said, when she said, this is kind of where it went off, is that Cheyenne tweeted, I said that what I said out of ignorance. And I almost feel like she resents Cheyenne. So that's sort of why I'm like, maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I can't decide because the way Cheyenne is acting, my instinct is to not like the way Cheyenne is acting because she's like, okay, all right, okay, the whole time. But does Kenzie deserve more? Is Kenzie just doing a good job of coming in and acting like a victim? You know, I don't know. Because she's like, I've learned a lot and I've become more self-aware before I could even have this conversation. And she's like, I admit I was making myself a victim. Well, I think you might still be. And not looking inward enough. Cheyenne is like, well, that's good. Well, that's good that you're doing that. That's good. And then Kenzie says that she's just been made aware of what happened to her family. And finally, Cheyenne's like, no, bullshit. That's not true. Everyone knew. And Cheyenne says every time you went on live and said Cheyenne doesn't love me or whatever, I would, my kids' schools would get calls, my family would get calls. So Kenzie was participating in it then, yeah? So Kenzie was like going on a live and being like, Cheyenne's mad at me, or I didn't follow it. Once like Kenzie was off the show, I was like, goodbye. But if that's what was happening, then this conversation needs to be very different, right? Because she's going to double down that she did not know. I can't believe that. If you have supporters who are supporters enough to go physically to Cheyenne's home, I would imagine that they've commented or sent you a message that they've done so. You know, and I can just like, I can't imagine they would do that without letting Kenzie know, like, I got your back. I went and told her off or something. Right? I just feel like that's a little hard for me to believe, you know? Let me check this. Am I on the right mic? Okay, good. I don't know about that. Let's see, what else do I have? Kenzie says that she's willing to do what Cheyenne needs her to do in order to build a relationship. And Cheyenne goes, I don't need anything from you. Okay. She goes, it's good for your personal growth that you're taking accountability, especially now that you're dating someone who's Black. Because if you have kids, they'll be Black too. And they won't get pulled over and get to say, my mom's white. They won't have the same privilege that your other kids have, or you. And Kenzie's like, fuck. Kenzie says the part that she wishes she could take back was pulling her into it. I'm like, I bet you do. Then Kenzie says, I'm sorry for the hurt I caused your family. Cheyenne goes, okay. Kenzie says, I'm coming to you as a woman to woman, mom to mom. All right. So it couldn't have gone worse, really. It couldn't have gone worse. Cool. Then Cheyenne tells the rest of the group that she's just a liar. She's just a fucking liar. Then they throw in, okay, classic teen mom interview soundbite that drives me crazy. For no fucking reason, they throw in this soundbite. Are you ready? Here's what Jade said to add. She added so much to this moment. Here it is. Ready? I think Mackenzie wants a friendship and Cheyenne just wants to move past it. So they're just not on the same page. Here's my issue with what they, okay. The only time you should be cutting to an interview is where it adds more context to the scene. So like, for example, on Housewives, they'll do that a lot. If you're watching a scene between Kyle and Garcelle, someone says something like, well, you said this. They'll cut to the interview so that the person can go, when I said that, what I was doing was X, Y, and Z. You don't just cut to them so that they can narrate what we're watching. I don't need someone to tell me what I'm looking at. Okay? I know. I'm watching it. I swear to God. Mackenzie's crying in her room. Thank you, Rosalind. Jade, so profound. Like, pointless interview soundbites. They must be sitting in interviews for hours with these people too, I tell you. They must be sitting in there hours and hours. Because they're like, okay, we want to get, because they must have like a list. Just because I think all about like what the producers have to do on their end. They must have like the list of all the things they need prompts for. So they're like, okay, we got to get something of Jade talking about what's going on with them. Okay, so Jade, what's going on with Mackenzie and Cheyenne? And then she's like, I just think, and then she answers and they're like, perfect, we'll use that. Okay. And it's just, these are pointless and we don't need them. We don't need the narration, because I'll tell you what ends up happening is all it is a time waster. Because when I take notes for these shows, this has been eye-opening, by the way. So I'm going to get into Jersey Shore next. But so when I take notes for all the shows I cover, I have noticed the massive lack of content from MTV shows versus Bravo shows. So, for example, Bravo shows, there's meaty dialogue, which is a pain in my ass, I'll tell you, because I'm like, you know me, I got to type it all out so I can get it all in the recap, because I got to overanalyze everything. But when I'm watching MTV shows, it's so much filler. It's so much of this time-wasty shit so they can have these long-ass seasons, which is a money grab. And I just, you know, it's kind of trash. I'm not going to lie.
If you are trying to be on a health kick like me, it's almost dangerous to go into a store because you can't walk past the good stuff. You're like, should I get a cake? No, don't. But then you do. So I love Hungry Root because I can do full-on grocery shopping, and I'm talking the good stuff. I have discovered brands that I had never heard of that do amazing healthy alternatives to food I crave that's not necessarily healthy. So the grocery shopping is top notch, but you can also look for meals. You can look up, that's kind of what a lot of people probably use Hungry Root for, to look up meals that they can make, follow some steps, etc. But you all know me and you know I hate cooking. So I literally filter it down to under 5 minutes. That is how much cook time and prep time I want.
Okay.
And so here is actually how it works. You take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root gets to know you, what your goals are, how you like to eat. And so every week, they build a personalized cart for you with what they think would be what you'd want to have for the week. Now, see, I like to clear the cart because I personally enjoy the shopping in the store. I actually have fun doing that. But they do put together things that I would generally like. And then you can choose, I liked that, I didn't like that. So then they get to know you more and more as time goes on. But they've got everything. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kid snacks, vitamins, supplements, everything. And here's the best part is every single thing from Hungry Root follows a very simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole, trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering She's Speaking with Emily Hanks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shespeaks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shespeaks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
All right, so speaking of Jersey Shore, so last week I covered Jersey Shore in like a general, Jersey Shore family vacation in like a general overview. And of course I had very negative opinions of it, but that's what I did last week. So this week I thought, okay, if I'm going to cover Jersey Shore still, I'll watch an episode and take notes on the episode and recap the episode. You guys, so I guess I'm going to see if you guys can see. It's probably too bright. Let me see if I can turn it down. So on my phone, I have my notes, right? So here's all the notes I have, right, for the three shows. Jersey Shore Family Vacation is so small because there is nothing but fucking filler on this show. This is the easiest job in the history of reality television for long-standing reality TV stars. Because what happens with when you've been on a show for a long time is it's expected that you show more and you show more and you keep giving and giving and giving. Not this cast. Oh, no. Not this cast. All you got to do is have Snooki going, I'm just here to have a good time. So let's go. Let's go get drunk. That's it. That's all she has to do. I don't know anything about her husband. I don't know shit about her life. And it'll just be a fight. And then they cut into Snooki going, I just think it's time for us to get out and go have some fun. And then they go and they do an activity. And some it was mind-blowing. So the little bit of content I do have to discuss, because that's what this show is, Anne shows up to the Nashville house in her passive-aggressive, I'm fine mood. Now, I hate that. Of all the moods someone can show up in, it's when they are in the I'm fine when they're obviously not fine mood. I hate that mood. I hate it. I hate it because it's very manipulative. Because it's one thing to show up quiet, like I'm good. And it's like, okay, no, they're letting us know they're not good, but they don't want to talk about it. Got it. But walking in with an attitude of being like, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. You can't do anything with that. Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much. I can't stand it. So they go to a restaurant. I would like more people to visit Nashville and go to this restaurant. I'm going to be going to this restaurant. They go to this restaurant where they're mean to you. There's a place in, is it still there? Ed DeBevick's. Does anyone know? Am I aging the fuck out of myself? Is it even still there? When I was like 16, I went there for my birthday or 15 or something. And they're assholes to you. But they also like perform and get up on tables and dance and stuff, but they make fun of you and that's like part of the bit. So that's what they were doing here. But what's great is they're like, Vinny, this is perfect for you. So Vinny puts on a shirt and goes and like works the table. And he's like, hey, where are you guys from? And they're like telling him different places. And he's like, yeah, fuck all those places. And he's just, It was entertaining. But meanwhile, Mike does yet another eating contest where he's totally bad. Eating contests really freak me out. Eating contests, like, I don't, just because you can doesn't mean you should. I don't think anyone should do these. I don't think these should be a thing. When that guy was listing the amount of food one should eat, I was like, that would literally kill someone. Why would anyone want to eat that? And Mike never wins at these anyway. He just like lets them do it so that it's for the, I think he like does it so that the show or the restaurant gets PR, honestly. Because he starts like eating slowly and he wins, but they just like cheat and they don't care. Okay. Dina and Chris are getting CJ tested for celiac because he's not growing. And that's what she's going to do. So she's going to be leaving the trip early and she's telling Ange about that. And then what do they do? Guess what they did, guys? They threw in an interview clip where even Dina can't pull it out. This is the interview clip. So yeah, we're just going to take him to the doctor and make sure everything is okay. And I could tell she's like, why do you need me to say this? I already say it in the scene, but then they have to add it in. Chris and I are going to go, oh my God, you guys, it's just bad TV. It's just fucking bad TV. So now Ron isn't coming. So yet again, they will tease this another week. Yet again. Are we kidding? They go out to karaoke and Dina sings. Oh my God. Did you guys see Dina's post on Instagram? I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Okay. Wait, let me see if I can find it. She is singing a song. I gotta find it. I'm gonna find it and see if I can play it for you guys because she's dead serious. That's the part that's kind of crazy. She's dead ass serious. Did she delete it? Please don't tell me she deleted it. She might have. She deleted it. She probably got so much hate for it. Yep, she deleted it. It's gone. It's just her singing to the camera a song that she wrote. I'm putting that in quotes. But it is so bad. But everyone in the comments was like, you have the voice of an angel. She must have been deleting the bad ones. You have the voice of an angel. Oh my God. Yes, you should. She's like, I've been thinking about getting in the studio. I'm like, hey. Okay, let's not do that. But then she sings the karaoke and it's so off key. And I think Jenny goes, I mean, I know Dina can sing, but right now it's just screaming. I'm like, do you know Dina can sing? You know, it's like the person that can kind of sing a little bit to themselves. We don't need to go there. And yeah, that's it. That's the end of the episode, guys. End of the fucking episode. Ron will be there next week. So that's what Jersey Shore Family Vacation. And it's like a 19 episode season. And the guys are hanging out alone, like, cause they're cooking. And then they're like, oh, are we not going to cook? Cause Ron's not coming. Okay, whatever. It's so casual. I'm like, what are we even documenting? What's going on with Jenny? I need some personal life stuff in order for me to justify it. Okay. Max goes, the cats are done with Jersey Shore Family Vacation too. Oh yeah, they fall asleep. They don't give a fuck about that show, okay? They make fun of it all the time. Oh, little Penny. Oh. They're being like extra precious right now. My God. Anyway, poor Dina was always kind of pointless. That is... I don't know why that's so funny to me. So next week we're going to see a little bit of like Ange and Sam. I can't, like, they're never going to fire Ange, are they? I don't even if they did, what would they talk about? There's not the show. Like, cancel it. And if Ron and Sammy finally like together doesn't create drama, then just cancel the show. Honestly. Someone says, aren't orange cats supposed to be insane? You know, I guess they're crazy. I didn't even know that was their reputation. But like, I feel like all cats kind of have that, like, you know how like cats have those, like zoomies. They all kind of have that. Tiger doesn't because she's fat and lazy. Tiger is she's a fat, lazy bitch. I'll tell you that right now. She is so selfish. But Penny will get little zoomies. But they're not, I don't know. They're not like extra wild or anything like that. I think they're kind of, I think they're mixed too, because their markings look like they, because my theory, because they were rescued from a gutter in the valley when they were little kittens. My theory is their mom was like a street cat who was either a Bengal herself or had sex with like a slutty Bengal male cat, because some of their markings, I had a Bengal before, have like Tiger literally has like Bengal markings. So they're mixed for sure. They're not like pure orange. And usually orange cats are boys. And she's a girl, even though apparently Tiger is a boy name. I didn't know that. My dog gets zoomies too. Yeah, it's just a pet thing. Like, so they don't, they're not like extra weird or anything like that. They're just, you know, normal, like weirdo little cats. How cats are weird. Animals are weird. Okay. That's it. That's it. Ha ha, a smutty Bengal. A slutty. I think you meant to write slutty. No, I think there was like a slutty. There was a Bengal cat, like a Bengal cat that would get around the neighborhood. I remember seeing signs when I lived in Studio City. There was a sign that was like, watch out for this cat. This cat is like going around having sex with all the other cats. And we have, every place has this, but the problem with the cats mating is that they make all these little kittens, and then there's all these kittens roaming around that don't have homes and stuff, you know? Aw, Jasmine says, I think it all depends on the owner. Yeah, because I'm very sane. Mm-hmm. Very. I have it all together. Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay. Well, that's it. That's it. Because that was the end of Jersey Shore. Every other show I got to talk for like, what, 20 minutes? But Jersey Shore, you gave me nothing. Because nothing happens on the show. Okay. If there's anything you guys want to throw up in the chat, I'm down to wait a couple minutes. I know I got some time next week. So let me see what I have on the agenda for tomorrow, next week. For tomorrow's weekly wrap up. Let's see what we are doing tomorrow. Oh shit, where'd I put it? Don't forget that after the wrap up, Kendrick and I cover Martha's Vineyard too. So like we do the wrap up and then we get into Martha's Vineyard. Oh yeah, that's right. I've got the Diddy filing. I'm going to read through it tonight. The Rodney Jones filing against Diddy was put up. So I'm going to read through it. Drake Bell addressed his scandal. He went on to Not Skinny, Not Fat. Shannon Bedore on Jeff Lewis talking about the thing with David. I can't wait to talk about it. It's so funny. And then Simon and Portia. That's all I have now, but I think I'll add some stuff. I just haven't had time to prep this because I'm so behind. Okay, I got one. Here we go. Watched Vanderpump Villa. I started it. I think I only got like partway through the first episode, but I haven't had a chance to, I have had to watch other things for this, for the pod. But I am going to watch it. I'm not going to cover it. A good friend of mine was like, please watch it and we can talk about it, 'cause I just need to know your thoughts. But I don't have time to cover it. Are you covering anything with Pia this season? I don't know. I am not 100% sure. It is a lot of work to cover a full season with someone else. With Pia doesn't have all the same like recording podcasty setup and stuff. So sometimes like I have to do a lot of editing and post and things like that. So that's why like when I record with Kendrick, it's all pretty easy because he's already set up for recordings and things like that. So that's the only reason with Pia it gets a little bit trickier. And I noticed it a lot when I was doing Beverly Hills, Miami with her this past. I was like, damn, it takes extra time. Pia is doing all kinds of content. If you're not following her on TikTok and IG, make sure you are, because she's sharing all of her thoughts on stuff still. So you can get your full Pia fix over there. But I talk to Pia all the time, so there's no bad blood. Someone asked me on Patreon, are you guys fighting? I'm like, never, never. It's honestly just for the show to make, because I don't think you guys realize how it just takes so much fucking time. And I'm behind on Summer House and I got to go do Summer House. Like, it's like, I'm always a little bit behind. So recording with someone requires like committing to that time frame, making sure and if I have to reschedule it, I have to make sure she's able to do it. It's just, it's a whole lot of extra things. So I'll have Pia on, but maybe I won't do a full season probably. Did you discuss the Carolyn Manzo lawsuit? Oh, that's what I'm going to have on. That's what I will be adding to the wrap up. Jessica, I will add the Caroline Manzo and Brandy being like vindicated. I am vindicated. I'm like, from what? There hasn't been a freaking ruling, you psycho. So I will discuss the Carolyn Manzo Brandy lawsuit tomorrow on the wrap up. And let's see. Are you also yay for Dolores getting center in the promo picks? I know, shocking. Dolores in the center really, like, they, I'm not going to cover Jersey because it's the worst show to cover, but I might watch a little bit here and there, a little bit. I love when there's dynamic changes. And so Jackie being with Teresa and against Margaret, I'm like, what are you going to spill? Because I know Margaret has so many secrets. And I'm like, ooh, if Jackie starts spilling secrets, I'm going to be in it. I'll tell you that right now. Right now. Melissa thinking the earthquake was a ghost, though. Now, okay, Susan, I thought that was a joke. I thought, because, like, you know how people make joke headlines? I'm traumatized from fucking April Fools. I got, even, by the way, April Fools, I'm going to stay offline every April Fools from now on. I went on Instagram and I got tricked by something. And then I was like, oh my God, it's April Fools. So I threw up my own warning to my followers in my story. I was like, guys, don't forget, it is April Fools. Don't fall for anything. And then I proceeded to share two things that were clearly April Fools. I hate it. I hate it. Susan, I thought Melissa calling 911 because she thought she had a ghost over when it was the earthquake. I thought that was all a spoof. I thought it was a joke. Like, she really called 911? What did she even say? Okay, guys. What are you talking about? That is unreal. Yes. I was shocked to see Dolores in the center too, T. I was very shocked by that. I'll tell this stupid story and then I'll wrap it up. Her calling 911 on a ghost. Okay. One time this was when I was still living at home with my parents. I was like 23 or something. So I had been out and I was coming home kind of late. So I was trying to obviously not wake anyone up. So it's dead silent in the house. And I start hearing this bang. It sounded like someone was in the ceiling dropping some really heavy chest or something. I don't know. I couldn't describe it, but it was just like, boom, boom. And it went on for a period of time that eventually I was like, no, I don't know what this is. So from my room, I called my mom. I called the house phone because I needed to wake them up, but I didn't like want to walk in there and wake them up. And so when she sees me, she's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm in my room, but do you hear that? And so then she hears it. So then my stepdad and my mom and me are now going through the house trying to figure out where this mysterious banging is from. And I'm like, is there an attic? And there was just like a crawl space that where if you wanted to like store something up there, you could. So we checked there and there was nothing there. But I'm not kidding. The whole house would feel it. This went on for probably 20 minutes. We didn't know what to do. And then at one point, my stepdad goes, should we call 911? And then we were like, did say what? That we have a ghost? Like, we don't even know what it is. And then it just stopped. I don't even, to this day, we don't know what happened. But we didn't call 911 is the point of my fucking story. Okay? We didn't. And that house was haunted. That house was absolutely haunted. I was laying in my bed. And I swear, like, it wasn't like I imagined it. So I thought my mom had come in my room and sat on my bed. And so I turned around to talk to my mom and no one was there. So that was okay. Cause we know spirits are real. So you don't call 911 though. Like, you don't really call 911. What did that person say? That person was like, I'm sorry, what? You have a ghost? So what do we do? What do I send the officers? So what do I, that, imagine that 911 operator like, we have a, what if there's like a code? What if there is like a police code for ghosts? Okay, Jessica says, oh my God, my cousins have had similar experiences. Their house is death haunted. Windows were shaking and everything. Oh yeah. Who are you going to call Ghostbusters? Thank you, Susan. I really walked right into that, didn't I? I really fucking walked right into that. is so funny. Yeah, the first on the other line on 911 is like, we have a Ghostbusters line. Everybody knows it. We all could call Ghostbusters. Oh my God. That was good. All right. Wow. Thanks, guys. It's been fun. All right. Tomorrow it is. Tomorrow I will see you guys back here 10 a.m. Kendrick will be joining me. And love ya, mean it. I'll see you then. Bye, guys. Have a good Saturday. Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free, and it helps the algorithm or something. You could also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.